Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, I'm Katrina Blankenship, your host of Community Radio. Along with many special guests, we look into the strengths and weaknesses of local communities. Did you know that the strength of a community comes from the strength of its people? This radio broadcast is a grassroots project to build communities one person at a time. This Katrina has been through a hurricane myself. Through my journey, I continually meet people who are just like me, and I want to share our lives and our experiences with you. We're all learning on this journey. And why not learn from one another and help encourage and build one another to build a strong community? Listen right here every Thursday evening at 8 p.m. on Katrina.com. You'll be inspired. If you'd like to give us a call during the show, our number is 1-877-598-8549. That's 877-598-8549. Join in with us through Facebook or through our online chat here. Now, it's time for Community Radio.
Welcome to Community Radio, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight is Thursday night, February the 5th, 2015. We welcome you to the show tonight and trust that you've had a great day so far. We're broadcasting here in Central Virginia, and it has been cold here today. I don't know where you're listening from tonight, but I will tell you, it is cold outside. Not as bad as it has been in times past, but I tell you one thing, it's depressing to get so much cold weather all winter long and no snow. We haven't even had enough to hardly cover the ground. It tickles me, though, when we always talk about how that, you can tell people on the East Coast don't really know a lot about snow and how to drive in it, because as soon as we get just a little bit of it, the schools close, there are so many accidents on the road. It's really sad to say, but it's kind of comical in a way, that people just don't know how to drive in the snow. We are just really wishing, though, that we'll get more snow. And I know our guests tonight are hoping that we don't get it this weekend. Any time after this weekend would be fine. And we are happy to have so many wonderful folks on the show with us tonight. And we want to share with you a little bit about what's going on in a neighboring state in North Carolina this coming weekend. And so we want to share with you what is going on here in our neck of the woods. And, you know, it seems like we're facing so many problems similar to this as far as our religious freedom, our freedom of speech, our freedom of press is really at risk these days. And it seems like more and more, every time you turn around, people are offended at seeing a cross, at seeing a Christian flag, at seeing anything, if you say anything, they get so offended. My husband says all the time, I think we should probably write a book on it called Welcome to America, the Land of the Offended, and that's kind of the way it's becoming. And it's really not funny. It's very serious, and this is a very serious topic that we want to talk about tonight, about how our religious freedoms and how King North Carolina has faced a tremendous controversy there by having a memorial that had a Christian flag flying along with other veterans' flags, and how they had to spend thousands and thousands of dollars in lawsuits and lawyers' fees, and they had to remove that flag. And then there was a statue of a kneeling soldier, and many of you have seen that all the way, across America. A lot of people have seen the kneeling soldier holding a gun, holding his helmet, and in front of a cross, and there was one there also, and they had to remove it. And I'm going to tell you, it's not been a very pleasant situation, and there is a group of people that are getting together, I want to say thousands of people coming together to rally in King, North Carolina this coming Saturday, and we want to bring some of our guests on tonight and talk about this and talk about this episode, what's going on in North Carolina, when it all happened, the purpose in doing this event this weekend. But you know what? Guess who we have on the show with us again tonight? Mr. Terry Sharp. And you know why he's on the show with us? Because he and Mr. Brown decided to walk again. Now, this doesn't have anything to do with Sergeant Tamarisi, but he's walking again from Summerfield, North Carolina, to King, North Carolina, and he's walking because he wants to bring awareness to King and to this event. And he and Mr. Brown started this morning, and they are walking now and making this trek from where they live in Summerfield out to King, North Carolina, and get the media exposure and everything that they can do and to lead up into Saturday's event. We also have Major Dave with us tonight, who is one of the coordinators that has the speakers lined up and the music lined up and all of the events that are going to take place at the memorial in North Carolina. So I've got both of them on the line. I think they're both on with me. Mr. Sharp, are you with me? Mr. Sharp, can you hear me? Okay, I think he's on the line, but I think we're getting a little bit of feedback. Major Dave, are you with me?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Okay, hang tight just a second. Let me see if I can get Mr. Sharp on the line.
Sure.
I'm hearing a little bit of feedback. I'm not sure which computer it's coming from. Are you listening to me online?
Not at the moment, no. That's in
okay.
the other room.
It might be. Hold on. It might be Mr. Sharp. Mr. Sharp,
Hello?
Are you there? Hello.
Hello.
Mr. Sharp? Okay, we might have to hang up and call him back. Okay, I think our feedback has stopped. Hold on a second. No, actually, I can still hear it. Mr. Sharp, are you with me?
What?
Okay. Let me see. Let me get everybody on the line here. Hang on a second. Got a lot of folks trying to get on the line at the same time here tonight. Mr.
Hello?
Calloway, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, I've got you on. Hold on with me 1 second. All right, everybody hang tight just 1 second. Let me get Mr. Sharp on the line. Okay, we've never got four people on the line at the same time, so I think we're getting a little bit of feedback. So any of you that are listening tonight, if you have your computers running also, if you're on the line with me, you might want to just turn the sound down a little bit so we don't get that feedback. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we have Mr. Terry Sharp on with us, Mr. Calloway, and also Major Dave. Do I have all of you on the line at the same time?
This is Terry.
Hi, Terry. How are you?
Good.
Major Dave?
Yes.
Oh.
Well, we have all three of these folks on the line with us tonight, and I want to start first with I would like to talk to Mr. Calloway first. Are you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, I am.
Well, thank you very much for being on the show with us. I'm going to let you kind of start the conversation off. If you could kind of tell everybody about the event that's coming up in King, North Carolina on Saturday and what the reasoning is for having the rally on Saturday.
Well, the rally is actually called Remember King. When King went to court and settled within court, they basically tied it up to where nothing can ever go back to that memorial, no cross, no flag, no nothing. And basically what we're trying to do is help show awareness of what happened in King and try to work with other communities to keep it from happening with them also. The rally will be selling T-shirts and stuff, and all the proceeds are going to the American Legion, where the original statue will be has been given by the city to the American Legion, and they're going to put up a memorial of their own. So all the money will go to help build that new memorial.
Now, tell us a little bit about the memorial. What was the memorial put up for originally, and what was the date of their first memorial?
Well, the memorial is a veterans memorial, and it was put up about 10 years ago, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And with the original design of the memorial, had the Christian flag in the original concept, and this is the concept that the city showed everybody when they was wanting them to buy bricks to go into the memorial, and
mm-hmm.
all the major contributors to the memorial, they also saw the original concept. Everybody liked the Christian flag within the memorial, and that's how it was built. It's been
right.
like that for 10 years. The Kneeling Soldier was added a couple of years ago. City of King had actually come to me and my father and asked us to build it. And we donated the time, and the city bought the materials, and we put it up right at 2 or 3 years ago, I believe. And that's basically the memorial itself.
And I want to kind of let the people understand a little bit more tonight. A gentleman that lived in King, North Carolina at the time, Mr. Stephen Hewitt, was complaining because the Christian flag was there. He was an Afghanistan veteran, and he was very offended that the Christian flag was flying there and also that this memorial was there. So from what we understand, he sued the county or sued the city, and because of so many different problems through the I'm sorry, I'm having a difficult time here, and I've got a lot of feedback from somebody's computer. So I'm not quite sure who it is. But from what I understand is that the lawsuit cost the city a whole lot of money. They had to remove the flag, and one of y'all can probably fill us in a little bit more on if the flag is permanently removed or if it's just removed a certain time of the year. And then Mr. Hewitt actually won the lawsuit, and so the city had to take it down, had to take the Christian flag down, take the praying soldier down with the cross. And so there's a rally this coming Saturday, and the purpose of the rally is to bring attention to this and how our religious freedoms are under attack and our religious liberty is at attack. I'm going to let Major Dave jump in here. Can you fill us in a little bit more?
Sure, I'd be happy to. First, I'd like to kind of correct the statement you just made.
Okay.
And that was your statement that Mr. Hewitt won the lawsuit.
Okay.
The lawsuit was not settled by the courts. It was settled out of court. So the court agreed to that settlement.
Okay.
But it was not a judgment of the court that resulted in the removal of that statute.
Okay.
So no wrongdoing,
well, and
no
harm was
admitted
by either
party.
I'm glad you're filling us in on this.
Yeah. What it was settled by was attorneys for both parties sitting across the table, attorneys who don't even live in King,
mm-hmm.
sat across the table counting dollars. That's what it all boiled down to. And the saddest part is that the attorneys for the city's insurance liability carrier won the day. They said, your policy doesn't cover enough. It's going to cost almost $2 million to go through the federal courts. Your policy only covers $1 million. We can't afford to defend our liberty.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
And the saddest part is that now every other small town in North Carolina and across the country that may have a similar type of memorial may find their premiums jacked through the roof or may find they can't get liability coverage at all.
Well,
implications have just mushroomed.
Now, what is the policy now? If a person in the community wanted to put some type of flag there, or Christian flag there or memorial, what is this, county property or city property?
It's city property, and under the agreement, well, let me go back and step back one step. When that complaint was first filed, the city, in an attempt to settle, developed a lottery system
mm-hmm.
for that one flagpole where the Christian flag used to fly. And citizens could sign up for the lottery, and they drew 52 names. And for 1 week out of that year, that person could determine what flag flew on that pole. But
okay.
even that was not acceptable, and the town had to agree as a term of this settlement to abandon that policy.
And remove the flag totally.
Yes.
Is
now,
the
Major
flag
Dave,
pole... Go ahead.
Dale, please correct me if I'm wrong, because that's what I understand from my reading of that settlement agreement.
It is, but at the same time, Stephen Jewett agreed to the lottery because he also participated in the lottery. There's several weeks he actually participated and chose to fly no flag for his week. So it's kind of hard to complain about afterwards after you participated in the said lottery yourself. The problem was there were so many citizens who flew the Christian flag, he got upset.
Right.
So is the flagpole still there? Or was
well,
the flagpole removed?
The empty flagpole was still there as of last Tuesday.
And what happened to the kneeling soldier?
Daryl can better address that.
Okay.
The city took the kneeling soldier up as soon as they voted to do so. And it was a 3-2 vote. There was two councilmen that voted against it. But the majority won out, and as soon as that vote went through, they pulled it out of the ground and put it in storage. City deemed it as a surplus property and then donated it to the American Legion, who was planning on putting up their own memorial with it.
At a different location, is that correct?
Yes, on the American Legion grounds.
Okay. Now, Mr. Sharp is on the line with us tonight. Hi, Mr. Sharp. Thank you for being with us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
I know that you're tired a little bit maybe today and definitely cold. You decided to walk from Summerfield, North Carolina, to King, North Carolina, to bring awareness to what's going on in King and to fight for our religious liberties and the liberties that you fought for. You fought in the Vietnam War. You're a decorated veteran, and we appreciate the service that you have given to our country. And you have been determined over the past 6 months or more that you are going to go out there and make a statement to the people. You and Mr. Brown walked to Washington, D.C. from Summerfield, North Carolina, twice. Over 300 miles, and to get Sergeant Tamarisi released. And because of your efforts and because of all the things that you've done, that story was in the news and the media, and the citizens of America did learn a whole lot more about Sergeant Tamarisi's story, and now this young man has been released from prison. So when you told us you were going to walk again this time from Summerfield to King, tell us what prompted you to decide to walk again.
Well, it's you know, the same thing. It's not right for one person to be able to take something down that the majority of people enjoy. And that Christianity is getting beat all to pieces, along with our Constitution. And it's time somebody starts standing up and making noise. So this sounds like it's going to be a lot of noise made Saturday.
Right.
And Alan and I are coming up the road, and people are blowing horns and waving. And it was even told a couple of people didn't know what was going on. So we're trying to get it, keep people involved in it, keep it under my mind. So.
You started this morning. Y'all walked 12 and a half miles today, and you're scheduled to walk 12 and a half miles again tomorrow. And then how far is your last leg on Saturday?
5 miles.
5 miles on Saturday. So totally, you're going to walk, let me see, 25 and 5 is 30 miles totally that you're going to walk out there. And then when you get to the rally, what is your plans when you get to the rally? What would you like to tell the folks there when you get there?
Oh, boy, that's where my three-minute speech comes in, huh? I'm having a hard time. I'm a walker, not a talker. I just want to say how honored I am to be there, you know, and it's a honored to see all these people that's going to be there.
Right.
It's just, and appreciate them coming out to support the town of King. And this,
now,
you
plan to be there on Saturday morning. Mr. Calloway or Mr. Or Major Dave, whichever one of you would like to jump in. One of you jump in and tell us exactly what's going to happen on Saturday at the rally.
Well, Daryl doesn't mind. I'll handle that.
No, I think you...
First, there are
I think you
a
got
lot
this
of day, groups... Okay, there are a lot of groups that have jumped in to become a part of this. King is located in Stokes County. Their local Stokes County Militia, the Yadkin County Militia from their next-door neighbors, 2 million bikers to D.C. even have gotten in behind this and helped promote it heavily and have been a major driving force in getting the word out. But some people are painting the wrong face on this because it is a rally. It's not a protest.
Right.
It is it's a very family-friendly event. We invite them to bring a picnic lunch along. You know, put a blanket on the ground, sit there and have lunch as they listen to the speakers and the music, and as we discuss these relevant issues. And I want to let everybody know, they will see police officers as they approach the memorial. But those police officers are there for our safety. We had to purchase a use permit from the town to use this amphitheater, and part of that cost is to cover 6 uniformed officers, 2 EMTs, and an ambulance that are provided by the town for our safety, so that when they come in and they see a police presence, they should not be alarmed. That is not a sign of trouble. We don't expect trouble. And believe you me, when these bikers show up, this is not an invasion by the Hells Angels. These are the most patriotic and committed people you would ever want to meet in your life. Many of them are part of 2 Million Bikers, but they're also part of the American Legion Riders, Patriot Guard Riders, Rolling Thunder, all of these groups that are primarily veterans who have decided to come and stand with us and say, enough is enough.
Well, we live in a country where our religious freedoms, and it seems like everything that we want to do, want to talk about, want to fight for, are always constantly challenged by the other side. It's not an easy way of saying it other than there's two sides here. And when you put together events like this, the outside people that are not involved with coming together to have the fellowship of patriots that are of like mind, of like faith, might not understand. And I'm glad you explained that, because we don't want people to feel alarmed or feel like they are not welcome, or that there is a need to have security there just in case. Because this is a rally, because the Christian flag was taken down, because the soldier was taken away with the cross there, you know, we wonder, would the soldier have been taken away if the cross was not part of this statue? What do you think?
Well, Daryl could answer that by talking about the statue that now sits in its place.
What does it look like now?
The statue that sits in its place is basically a soldier kneeling down with his weapon. It's no longer a cross. There's nothing really marking the grave, but a weapon sticking in the ground, which is what signifies a grave in the field now. And it's along the same idea, but if you're not military, you wouldn't understand it.
Right.
And you know, we talk about the cross, but actually it was a grave marker. Everybody understands the symbolism of a cross at a grave.
Right.
And that's primarily what it was.
How do you all feel about what's going to happen on Saturday? And do you see a possibility of turning this around? Do you think there's any possibility with the rally or with any type of petitions or any way that this could turn around and the Christian flag be put black and the kneeling soldier at the cross where it was?
probably not a whole lot that can be done to affect the outcome in King, but mm-hmm. the major objective would be to put people on notice that this is most likely coming to your town, and maybe sooner than later, because one of the terms of the agreement was the payment of $500,000 to the Americans United for Separation of Church and State. They now have a war chest to go out and take on some other town. And the question is, which town? So if we can accomplish that goal of raising the public awareness, that's the major goal, is to raise the public awareness of this issue and to give them some language and some examples of how they can actually fight back against this within the constraints of our law.
Well, Major Dave, why don't you explain to us what the difference is, but what is the separation of church and state?
Okay. And I will say at the outset, I believe that in some cases the courts have gotten this very, very wrong. They are claiming things violate the First Amendment when there's no language in the First Amendment addressing that particular issue. It simply says that the Congress shall pass no law establishing a national religion. This is not
right.
an act of Congress in the town of King. It does not establish a national religion. And what has happened is that the original intent of the founders, well, they're relying on a phrase in a letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote to the Church of Danbury, where he said that the Constitution created a wall of separation between the church and the state. And if you think of it in the context of that day and age, he was correct, because what they were trying to avoid was the very relationship they had left in England between the crown and the Church of England. They did not want those two institutions having direct control over one another. That did not mean that they were trying to separate values from the function of government. Government has to have a set of values in order to have a purpose at all. And the question today in this country is, what set of values are we going to use?
Absolutely. Well, bringing forth these people here in King, I know that there is a particular reason also why you chose February the 7th. Is there a particular reason why you chose this coming Saturday?
That's a Daryl question.
No, not particularly. We wanted to do something. Everybody was excited and wanted something done, and we didn't want to wait too late. And we got a hold of Two Million Bikers got a hold of us, and they said that date would fit in their schedule pretty good, and so we made it our schedule fit in, and that seemed to be the date.
Now, it seems that by looking at the weather forecast, that God definitely has a direct control over this particular event, because so many people are coming together to stand for God and stand for our religious freedom, our religious liberties, and also the fact that we have claimed all these years to be a Christian nation. God has really opened the doors of heaven, and the weather is supposed to be beautiful this Saturday, so I know y'all are happy about that. Can one of y'all tell us a little bit about what's going to go on at the event on Saturday and what time people should be there? We need an address. We need to tell them about parking. So if one of y'all can jump in and fill in the listeners on that, that would be great.
Sure, Katrina. Beginning at 10:30 at the American Legion Post 290, it's right on the main drag in town, South Main Street, on the corner of Meadowbrook Road. That's where the bikers are going to assemble. And at 10:30, it will be kickstands up, and they will make a slow processional parade over to the memorial, which is about a mile away. Mm-hmm. And they will stop at the memorial to pay their respects, and then they will walk through across the field to the amphitheater, which is right adjacent to the memorial. And the program at the stage will begin promptly at 11. I'd also like to mention something. We can come back and discuss it in more detail later. But the American Legion is going to be offering hot coffee and donuts to those riders before the parade. And if people would like to donate to the American Legion to help defray that cost, I'll be glad to give an address that they could mail a check to.
Okay. Why don't you go ahead and give us that now, and then I can repeat it again at the end of the show.
Sure. They need to make the check payable to American Legion Post number 290.
Okay.
And they can mail it to Post Office Box 432, King, North Carolina, 27021. And if they would, just put King Rally on the memo line of that check.
Okay.
And that will help provide hot coffee and donuts to most of those riders, as I said, who are veterans, who are turning out to stand with us in a show of support.
And most of them are veterans, and y'all are getting responses from people I know that are coming from all over the United States. It's just not from North Carolina, am I correct?
That is true. I know that some biker groups are coming down from Pennsylvania, coming up from South Carolina. Even here within our state, we have been alerted that there is a group of churches from Shelby, North Carolina, beyond Charlotte, that are bringing up people by the busload, and we've been told expect 200 or 300 just from that church community alone.
That's amazing. We know a lot of people in that area, and it is a Bible Belt down there, that's for sure. Tell
yes,
us what's going to happen at 11 o'clock.
Well, at 11 o'clock, we'll start with the typical opening ceremony with a prayer, the Pledge of Allegiance, and the National Anthem. And then we'll have a series of speakers throughout the day. I think some of you have already mentioned that were on the flyer, along with some other local grassroots leaders. And, of course, Terry and Alan, who've been doing all this great walking out there to bring awareness to it. And that will be interspersed with music throughout the program. But you will hear from a variety of speakers. One of them, Gaddy Adelman, is actually Jewish. He's not Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And he is coming to speak because we are putting a Judeo-Christian face on this. The value. Yes, we are predominantly a Christian nation, but we were founded on Judeo-Christian values.
Right.
There's nothing in our Christian value set that addresses how we live with our neighbor day to day that conflicts with the Jewish beliefs. Frankly, the majority
right.
of our differences have to do with the next life, not this life.
Right.
And he will be there to explain why religious liberty is so important to people of all faiths in this country. And that is the basis of our argument. I know that there are some on our side who are Christian, who frankly wouldn't be happy until they planted a cross on top of the White House.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not the purpose and intent of what we do.
Right. Well, and there are so many people that are planning to participate in the event, and it's to educate the public as well. It's to bring the fellowship. It's to bring the patriot people together, those that believe the same way. But it's also an opportunity to educate those who don't really understand what the threats we have in our country now, and also from a worldwide standpoint, the terrorism and the problems that we have because of our stand for God. Tell us a little bit about that and how that this will definitely educate so many people.
Well, the takeaways from the rally are hope and a game plan.
Mm-hmm.
We want people to leave there with the understanding that, yes, there is something that can be done in a positive way, and that they can recognize and embrace it as something that's going to be a part of their life. There really is something they can do to be an influence as in this ongoing debate. And if we can accomplish that, the whole rally will have been worth it. But
absolutely.
We are going to offer some more in-depth explanation of these issues because, frankly, so many people only hear the 30-second soundbite or the two-paragraph article, and they really don't understand just what's been going on up there. And I will say this on the show. I'm not going to propose it at the rally when I speak, but, you know, there actually may be a solution to the problem in King, and I just started thinking about it, and Daryl mentioned it earlier when he said the town can never again fly the Christian flag. Well, I'm one for thinking outside the box. And let's say we've heard of companies that go bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
They fold, they go out of business, and they pop up the next week doing the same business under another name and sever all legal connections to that prior corporate entity.
Right.
Well, what if the town of King voted to go out of business?
Right.
And simply shut down and then reorganized as a new town and possibly even with a new name. And yes, I know it would be cumbersome. I know it would be time consuming. But if the people of King decided that they really wanted to sever themselves from this legal agreement, there may be a legal pathway to do it.
It sure would. Mr. Hewitt would probably be standing guard, ready to start all over again.
And I'm sure he would. One of the guest speakers is a pastor from Shelby, a church there in Shelby, by the name of Rick Verriel.
Uh-huh.
And he is one of the few pastors that is also politically active. He's not afraid to address how his values mesh with the political processes and how the people in his congregation should be involved as citizens
right.
and fulfilling their civic duty. And so he will be offering his own insights to encourage not only we the people, but their pastors across the state to start getting involved. You know, one of the reasons I believe we're in this position is because we have simply become too tolerant. And we have lost our moral courage to stand up for the values we believe in. You know, Reagan said it, you know, freedom isn't passed to the next generation in the bloodstream.
You're exactly right.
If we don't pass it to them directly, that's right. If we don't pass it to them directly, they'll lose it.
And you're talking to a preacher's daughter that was very vocal and was now a preacher's wife who both preached that we need to educate the members and keep them involved. You don't have to let the candidates and politicians come into your church and campaign, but it's only right to let the people know what's going on and what the Bible says about what's going on to where that they're more educated. And we've talked about this many times on the show before. Preachers don't preach anything anymore, and now you get community people who are not involved in standing up for our rights, our freedoms, and what the Bible says that we should do as the right way to live. And so now we have situations like this.
Well, and you just brought up a very important point that's probably a topic in itself for another show. But when you think about it, the reason those churches cannot endorse candidates or speak out publicly is because of tax laws
right.
and their tax-exempt status under the IRS. And prior to 1913 and the passage of the 16th Amendment that gave us the federal income tax, there wasn't a church in this country that had to be worried about endorsing or speaking out.
Right.
We brought that burden on ourselves when we allowed that federal income tax. And, of course, a whole lot of other problems, too. But in this particular case, that's where the IRS gets to exert leverage that they otherwise would not ever have.
Well, and I'm glad to hear you say that. My daddy preached about it for 33 years before he passed away, and he preached against churches getting those tax benefits and being involved with the state so much, and so many churches have turned into a business instead of worshiping God and doing the right thing in their church. And so now, yes, you're right. Now we have this problem in our country where the government thinks that they can tell the church what to do, and they can tell the preachers what to do, and the preachers are scared because they're afraid that the IRS or the government's going to step in and take that away from them. And now look where we are.
That's right.
Now we have a church here in King. It's the largest church in King. Who's actually took the mantle and stepped forward in this situation. Pastor Boy Hill over at Calvary Baptist. They actually gathered over 100 people at the last town meeting. And they actually had to send people out of the meeting because of his full past capacity. And him and Ron Beatty, a pastor of Freedom Baptist Church in Winston, have started Restore America. And that's exactly what they're doing is forming a game plan where these towns can't be taken over and this happened to other towns. So that's another church there in our town that's actually becoming more political.
That's wonderful. That's great. And hopefully they will really be able to set the example for churches all over the country, because this is something that's going to take place, just like y'all said, all through communities across America if something's not done.
I mean, even in the Bible, Jesus, before the Garden of Gethsemane, told his apostles, sell your purses and buy swords. Now, in those days, the apostles, nobody was allowed to own a sword but a Roman soldier.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, when people says that, you know, peace, just let it be. You know, there's times the church needs to stand up and say this ain't right. And I think it's so perfect for the church is to guide and direct people. And by allowing a lot of these things to happen, that's not really what a church is doing.
Well, Mr. Sharp, how do you feel this evening after walking 12 and a half miles this morning?
I'm tired.
Are you?
You made a comment about decorated Marine. I'm not. Alan is the one with the Purple Heart.
Alan is the one. I can hardly hear you. Alan is the one with the Purple Heart.
Yeah, and Alan left South Boston Monday walking. To here?
Uh-huh.
To Summerfield?
So he's been walking. How many miles is it from South Boston to your place?
He got in, I think close. He didn't quite get here because he ran out of time. But he got in about 60 miles.
By himself, he walked 60 miles and carried a Christian flag. Now, what? Both of y'all are carrying Christian flags on this trip. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. Ronnie Stanley came in tonight from up around Culpeper.
Mm-hmm.
He walked with us on the ship, the second trip to Washington.
Right.
And so he's carrying an American flag for tomorrow.
That is great. That is just wonderful. And I'm sure you have so many emotions as you get out there on that road and you carry those flags and you walk. I'm sure that even though it's uphill or it's on the side of the road where you don't have a lot of edge on the side of the road, there's something that gives you that drive and that passion to just keep moving forward. I know when we followed you to Washington on the last trip, as tired as you were, as blistered as your feet were, and all the things you went through, you still kept on going. What gives you that drive and determination?
That's a Marine thing. You don't quit. I tell you, it's real painful sometimes.
All right, Major Dave, tell us about your military background. And Mr. Calloway, are you a veteran as well?
Well, I was in the Navy, but I had my knee torn out when I was in boot camp, so it was a very short stint.
Well, you're still very valuable to us. Major Dave, you want to fill in?
Yes. Well, I joined the Army in 1974 because I had a very low number, draft sequence number, and an even lower college GPA.
Uh-huh.
So I went in and enlisted. I was a military policeman, became a military police investigator, and reached a point in my career after 6 years where going up would have been easier if I were black or female. And I hate to paint it in such class terms, but that's exactly what it was. And so I left the active Army, came home and joined the National Guard, and went through officer candidate schools through the Guard and got my commission as an officer. And then I spent the remainder of my career on active duty as a National Guard member at the National Guard Bureau in Washington. And I was a staff officer, never served in combat, but I was apparently fairly good at what I did. I had a most enjoyable career. And I retired in 1995, came back home to North Carolina, and have been working as a self-employed consultant ever since. So, but the military experience that I had has really helped me in working with grassroots, because my wife and I travel the state, and we have the sound system, the high-def video cameras, And we go out and support groups just like this who don't have the budget and the resources to go out and hire or rent this type of equipment service. Mm-hmm. And that's our way of giving back, just doing what we have the capacity to do. And we live off my retirement and a little bit of money in. But that's what we do. We do it for our children and our grandchildren. That's what we live for these days. And we try to encourage other people to step up. You know, maybe it's just printing off 100 flyers the night before Election Day to go to the polls and hand out to people for your preferred conservative candidates. But there's always something that everybody can do to
Absolutely.
Help make this country a better place to live.
Absolutely. And, you know, if we don't take that stand and we don't step out and start some way, and I'm so glad you said that, because people don't always have to drive miles and miles to go to a rally or go to Washington and step on the sidewalk, which a lot of people do because they're so aggravated at what's going on in Washington. They feel like they want to go so bad, but then a lot of people are scared to go. There's so many things, just at their local election, just to be able to pitch in and help. Or go sit and be a poll watcher and make sure everybody's doing the right thing. Or talk to your folks in your neighborhood or in your community. There's so many different opportunities that people can do. Every person, every soul counts.
Exactly. You know, there are there are over 170 different grassroots groups on the ground here in North Carolina, and that's just the ones I know of. And they're Tea Party, they are Second Amendment, pro-life, illegal immigration groups. There's somebody out there working on everything. And we're working here to bring a unifying body to them that we're going to call the North Carolina Chamber of Conservative Leadership. And it's going to operate much like the Chamber of Commerce. We don't tell you what business to be in or how to run it. But we have candidates out there running for local office who have nothing in the way of resources. And most town council races, they only raise maybe $1,000, $2,000. But an 18-year-old kid today can produce a studio-quality advertisement with a camera off the shelf from Best Buy.
I know.
We have to teach people how to be smarter with the resources we have, identify those resources, and then make them available to these local towns so we can actually prevail in some of these elections.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, there is so many opportunities to clean up America. It just takes a little bit of effort. And if everybody put a little bit of effort into it, we could really accomplish so many things.
Oh, we could have. And in hindsight, we could sit here and finger point and say, well, my gosh, if the grassroots had risen up loud enough back in 2010, maybe this outcome would have been different. Well, I'm sorry. We may be right, but that's then and this is now. So what can we do going forward? And again,
Absolutely.
That's the purpose of the rally, to make it positive, to make it productive, and that's why we want the families to come out and bring their children, because their children need to hear this. They will not hear this in school.
Well, you probably have. Absolutely. You probably have felt this. You and your wife have felt this at rallies before, at so many events that y'all have put on. Just the sheer fact of bringing like-minded people together that care about their country and care about their freedom together will send chills up and down your spine if nobody said a word.
That's quite true. And there's nothing more devastating than the feeling of being alone.
I know. You're exactly right. Well, Mr. Sharp.
And there are people out.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I was going to say there are people out there that are behind this rally that cannot leave their home. Their only connection is through a computer. And I will video this event, and it will be put on YouTube in its entirety after the fact. There are things that people can do from their computer, though, to help spread the word for events like this. And even those people can be engaged and find a productive role to play. They don't have to think like they're out of the fight simply because they can't leave their homes.
Right. You're exactly right. Mr. Sharp, I know you don't feel alone with Mr. Brown walking with you and Ronnie walking with you tomorrow. I know it's very energizing also to have the two and the three of y'all walking together.
Well, I tell you, everybody's worried about how cold it's going to be in the morning. I don't know. It's going to be terrible for the first few hours. It'll make you walk faster.
Right. Well, we're going to be praying for you and Mr. Brown and Ronnie as y'all walk tomorrow, that y'all will be safe on the road. And may God bless you for your stand and for your care and concern about standing up for our veterans and standing up for our freedoms in this country and standing up for God. May God really bless you, and I know He has already, and will continue to do that for what you're doing to make this awareness to so many citizens.
Well, thank you, and I'll see you Saturday morning.
We will see you Saturday morning. And Major Dave, we can't thank you enough for all the hard work and everything that you've done. And Mr. Calloway, all of the hard work in putting this event together and getting the word out there. For both of you, do you have an approximate number? Do you know about how many people might show up on Saturday?
Darryl, what are you hearing in King?
The last rally they had when this recently started, over 6,000 people showed up. I'm not really thinking 6,000, but it could very well be 2 to 3.
Where do people need to park? We talked about that for a minute. Where do people need to park when they get down there with this kind of volume of folks coming in?
Well, we got the parking area right there at the memorial, which is limited, and most of it will be roped off for the buses and for the motorcycles.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll finish filling that parking lot up, and there's another small one beside it. I believe we've got... I believe we got permission to use the First Baptist parking lot, which is a large church right beside the park.
Mm-hmm.
We also got permission to use Calvary Baptist, but using it is just a little way from the park, but it's probably a little bit too far for people to want to walk. We walked it during the last rally, but it's a pretty good hike here. So they could probably carpool from that area.
Okay. 11 o'clock to 2 p.m. People should bring a lunch if they want, or is there anybody going to be there with... drinks or any type of food?
We will have drinks there, water and soda and hot cocoa, I believe, there.
Mm-hmm.
But no food.
Okay, no food. And everybody needs to be very respectful and clean up their trash.
Yes, please pick it behind yourself.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I'm going to say this. It's very depressing to say it, but Virginia has become a very dirty state. North Carolina, though, I can proudly say, see, my daddy was born and raised in the hills of North Carolina, so I guess I have a lot of North Carolina blood in me, even though I was born in Virginia. But there's something different about North Carolinians and Virginians. North Carolina is beautiful country, no matter which part you go in. People just don't throw trash down like they do here in Virginia. So I think y'all need to come up here and teach the folks up here a lesson or two. Well, we appreciate y'all being on the show with us tonight, and I appreciate your time and your effort and everything that you're doing. None of you are getting paid for what you're doing. You're doing it because you love our country and you love our freedoms, and you want to do the right thing. And that's what all these folks that are coming together are doing. No one's getting paid for anything other than, I guess, the city where you had to pay for the license and things. Is that true?
$1,300. I have
That's
to tell
amazing.
You, Katrina, I will admit I do feel like I'm being paid to do this because I still draw my military pension. I consider it reduced pay for reduced services, but my commission is still valid. I am still a major in the retired reserves, and this is the way I continue to serve. That's
and
all
Mr. Sharp, Mr. Sharp, you're doing the same thing, aren't you?
I'm doing my Social Security.
And I think that y'all are going to see Mr. Sharp and Mr. Brown walking even more. I don't know. I think they've got something going on here now. They've become so energized and so ready to walk. Y'all might, there's no telling where you might see them. Major Dave, just keep Mr. Sharp informed of all the events that you have planned across America. I'm sure that Mr. Sharp and Mr. Brown could really build a lot of awareness for you.
without a doubt, and not to take the spotlight off of the event at King, but on March 29th, Oath Keepers is going to have a major rally in Fate, North Carolina, just outside of Salisbury. That's just east of Charlotte. And they are going to have a mass readministration of the oath to the Constitution to all of the veterans who show up to participate in that rally. And that's going to be March 29th from 1 to 5 in the afternoon in Fate, North Carolina. And they will find things, information about that on the Oath Keepers website.
Okay. Tell us a little bit. Now, we are following the Community Radio Program and the Community Journal. It's following Mr. Sharp and Mr. Brown. For those of y'all that are listening to the show tonight, you can go to www.thecommunityjournal.us. There's a link there. Y'all got Facebook pages also set up, and there's a flyer there for anything that's going on with the event this weekend. Is there another website, something other than the Facebook page, with the event posted?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to make sure that I didn't miss, not sharing that with everybody. And
but after this rally, we may need one.
I agree. I definitely agree. I think that we need to do something to, you know, wouldn't it be wonderful if all the people that are there couldn't do something to get that Christian flag flying one more time?
Well, I find it amazing, Katrina, that a nation that was founded because of what we would not tolerate is now being destroyed by what we are told we must.
I know. Isn't it a shame? I guess that separation between the people here and Britain never really officially took place, huh?
Right.
Sounds like we're still under control,
frankly,
huh?
Well, I mean, if you read the Declaration of Independence and what it says about us and our relationship with the Creator, that
right.
eliminates the question of whether there is or God or not for this country.
Absolutely.
And frankly, to hear their version, the only thing the Declaration needed to say was, "Dear God, thanks for the independence, the victory, and the liberties. We'll take it from here."
Well, I know one
you
thing.
You know, Major Dave, also, how many states actually required you to be a Christian? At the very least, have a belief in God before you could even run for a state office. I know North Carolina still has that statute within their constitution.
Really?
Well, not only
I didn't
that,
know
but
that.
It's Article 11, Section 13, where it talks about welfare in our state constitution. It says that because we are a Christian state, it is our duty to provide for the misfortunate and the handicapped and things
mm-hmm.
of that nature. It actually uses the word Christian in the text of our state constitution. But, yes, in Article 1, Section 6, where it talks about the eligibility to hold public office, to this day it still says that the people who are disqualified from holding public office, the very first one they list is any person who shall deny the being of Almighty God. And the reason they did that is because of what I just said about the Declaration. The question of whether or not there is a God was already settled, and we could not expect any person to be a proper advocate for our founding values if they did not share that core belief.
Well, it sounds like we need to kick a whole lot of people out of office.
Yes. And I think we will see that continue to explode. It started in 2010 with the rise of the Tea Party, and it's still in its infancy, and you have to crawl before you can walk. But the movement is growing, and it's issues like this that are bringing those chickens home to roost, and people are just seeing that they cannot sit back and be complacent anymore. And, yes, it's difficult. Yes, it's cumbersome. But it's our country, and if it isn't worth fighting for, then just go ahead and surrender.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we have a whole lot of people that still do not know the Lord. We certainly can't stop. We've got a lot of work yet to do ahead.
So we would never, ever become a Christian nation. I don't care how they interpret the law, because anybody who believes that we can misunderstands the fundamental tenet of Christianity. It's a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only thing that makes you a Christian and gets you into salvation. Doesn't matter what church you belong to. It's what's
right.
in your heart.
Right.
And there's no amount of law that can mandate what's in your heart.
Well, we just have to keep holding hands and fighting that much stronger. And it is a blessing when people can come together, even across the state lines, the county lines, you know, the world lines, to come together. And just because we live in the United States, we can't stop fighting for and also helping to protect Christians that are across the world. We have so many problems with terrorism and ISIS and things, you know, where people are being killed for their beliefs or not believing what they want us to believe. And we just cannot stop. We have got to keep standing strong. And yes, you're right. Getting the children involved are very important. We tell our children all the time what's going on and things of nature, whether it has to do with politics or community or government or things. And sometimes it's very sad to have to tell them some things. But wouldn't you rather them be educated and more prepared? Because one of these days we might have, and we know it's coming as Christians, we know that the devastation is coming quickly. Wouldn't your children, wouldn't it be better for them to be educated and be prepared, or at least know something of what's going on, than them to be blindsided and not have any idea what's going on with our home, with our family, with our church, why we have to hide? You know, wouldn't it be better to prepare them now? I think they would be stronger than to be blindsided.
Well, that's very true. And one of the things, I'll just say, none of the front-runner presidential candidates right now have offered a vision for healing this country. Nobody has a plan.
Right.
And there is no quick fix. It's going to be incremental. It took Crete over 50 or 60 years to really bring us to this point, and it's going mm-hmm. to be a slow struggle back in the other direction. And part of that, what we can do on our end, is understand that there is no quick fix. It takes incremental victories and building one upon the other, but you have to start somewhere. And the
You're
rallying
exactly
king
right.
says, enough is enough. And our grandchildren are still going to be fighting this. And again, I go back to Reagan. Freedom isn't passed along. They're going to have to fight to maintain it for their children and grandchildren, too. That burden falls to every generation in this country if we want to remain free.
That's right. And, you know, we know as Christians that we're in the last days, but the last days could be 5 minutes or 5 years from now, 50 years from now. We really don't know what the Lord has in store for us, and we can't quit. Every single day we have to put that effort out there to do everything we can to clean up our community and to protect it and protect our family. And I really appreciate, I know all the listeners that are listening tonight, and I know all the folks that will be participating in the rally on Saturday are so grateful for what you three men and all of the volunteers are doing to make this effort possible and to educate so many people. I can't thank you enough, and I can't thank you enough for being with us on the radio program tonight to share your passions and your concerns and your cares and your love for your country.
Well, I thank you. It's an honor and a privilege to be able to participate in a dialogue like this, and I look forward to meeting you in person on Saturday.
Well, we do too. Mr. Sharp, we've kept you up too long now. You're a 3 o'clock wake-up kind of guy, so we know that you need to get in the bed and get some rest, because you're going to have to call a start off. What is it, probably about 12 degrees down there tonight?
It goes from 17 to 25. I don't know what it's going to be, but it's going to be cold.
Okay. Well, you need to get some rest, so you'll be plenty warm in the morning and plenty rested. And we'll be praying for you tomorrow. And for those of you who listen, don't forget to go to the communityjournal.us website. And we follow them. We call Mr. Sharp about every hour or 2 hours and check on him and see where they are. And then we plot where they are on the map, so y'all can follow them all throughout the day tomorrow and pray for them as they walk.
Good night to y'all.
Good night. Mr. Calloway, thank you so much for being on the show tonight. And you and your wife, get some rest. I know you got a lot to do between now and Saturday, and we will see you on Saturday. And thank you so much for everything you've done.
I look forward to it. And thank you for getting awareness out for what's going on Saturday.
Thank you. And Major Dave, thank you for all of your good insight tonight and filling us in on the event, and all about the purpose behind it and why we should all continue to work towards getting there on Saturday.
Well, thank you. And I thank Daryl, because actually it was his wife, Paula, that called me about 3 weeks ago and said, hey, would you be willing to come up and speak? And because I developed a bad habit as a child and learned how to volunteer, it's kind of snowballed since then.
I don't think they're too upset. Are you, you think so, Mr. Callahan?
No, no, no. We met Mr. Dave a long time ago, and his was the first call we made. I mean, the plan knows his stuff.
Well, God has a way of putting good people together, doesn't he?
He does.
Well, we look forward to seeing y'all on Saturday, and we'll pray for y'all as you continue to prepare and get everything ready for all the folks there. And thanks again for everything y'all have done, and we'll see you on Saturday.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank
you so much,
Katrina.
We'll stay in touch.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
For those of you that have been listening to the show tonight, the rally in King, North Carolina is this coming Saturday. And it's going to be held in King, North Carolina at the Central Park Amphitheater. At 10:30, there are going to be bikers who have come from all over the state, on the United States, to meet at the American Legion. And then they are going to come with a parade into the city of, or into the town down Main Street there in front of the memorial. If you go to the website, which is www.thecommunityjournal.us, you can look at the memorial. It is a beautiful granite memorial with flags, not just the American flag, but with the flags of all the branches of the military. And it is a beautiful memorial that the city put there. A lot of cities, a lot of towns have put veterans memorials up across America. And they decided when they put it up that they were going to put the Christian flag there as well. Because of an atheist man who lived in the county or lived in the town, he decided that he was offended and didn't want to have this flag flying. So there's a whole lot that goes behind the story. If you get online and you Google King, North Carolina, Christian flag, kneeling soldier, you'll see what has happened and how this has come about. And they've had to remove the Christian flag and remove the soldier that was bowing down basically not just to the cross, but the cross being a marker, a grave marker. And so they wanted to put this event together to where that they could bring awareness and teach people. They're looking for 5,000 to 10,000 people, honestly. You just don't know how many people is going to show up. And, yes, I believe God has worked it out with the weather that it's going to just be a nice day, and people are going to be able to ride in. Mr. Sharp, Mr. Brown are going to be walking. They walked 12.5 miles this morning. They're going to walk again, or today. They are going to walk 12.5 miles again tomorrow, and then that extra 5 miles on the last leg of the walk to bring awareness. People that are walking down or driving down the road see them walking with their Christian flags. They don't even know what they're doing. But those two, they walked to Washington, D.C. twice. The first time, Mr. Sharp kept seeing on the news that Sergeant Tamarisi was not being released from prison. And he said, I can't stand to sit here and watch it any longer. I've got to get up and walk. I got to do something. I've got to bring some kind of awareness. And so he decided to walk. And he got his flag. I think he had his Marine flag and maybe a United States flag, and he decided he was going to walk to Washington and tell the president to let him go. And so that's kind of how it got started, and he walked all the way up into South Boston, and Mr. Brown, a Vietnam veteran that served in the same company that didn't even know who he was, saw him walking on the side of the road with the flags, and he stopped and he said, what are you doing? And he told him why he was walking. And they decided, he said, I'm going to get my stuff. And a little bit later, he comes back, and he decided to walk with him and walked all the way to Washington. After Sergeant Tamarisi was not released, a week after that they had kind of given him an ultimatum, Mr. Sharp says, I'm walking again. And do you know that those two men walked over 300 miles twice from Summerfield, North Carolina, to Washington, D.C.? And because of what they've done and the awareness that it's brought to them, not to them personally, not to take any credit for them, but the awareness it brought to this project and Sergeant Tamarisi being released. Sergeant Tamarisi was actually released from prison, and it kept that story in the news. And this is the kind of stuff that needs to be done as well. Keep this stuff in the news. Keep these issues and what cities and towns are having to fight for. I know we have people all the time that says, I can't believe that you're brave enough to put the Ten Commandments on the front of the Community Journal. And let me tell you, I'm proud that we are able to do it. I'm proud that we still own a company privately to where that we can print the Ten Commandments on the front of the newspaper. And I will tell you, so many people come to us and say, I picked up the journal because the Ten Commandments was on the front of it. I knew what kind of publication this was. And you know what? If you take a stand and you let people see who you are, why you believe what you do, and you're not ashamed of it, God will bring the right people to you, and He will reward your effort. It's not about getting something for yourself, but it's about honoring Him and honoring our Constitution, the Bible, and God, and what our country was founded on, the Constitution, doing the right thing. And it really is amazing how people come together. Sometimes it's one person at a time, but every single person is very important. So I'll encourage you, if you can go to King, North Carolina on Saturday, you will most likely be very blessed by going and standing strong with other Christians and other patriots that says, enough is enough. We want to put that Christian flag back up, and we want to protect our freedoms. So if you want to also, Major Dave was talking about, the American Legion is providing coffee and donuts for the veterans that are coming. Their address is American Legion, Post 290, P.O. Box 432, King, North Carolina, 27021. Send them a check, $5, $10, just to be able to put together something nice for these folks that have come so far and are willing. I've seen groups of people come together on a bike. There's something about that rumble of thunder with the motorcycles as they come through, and they pay their tribute to those that served in our country. It'll give you chills up and down your spine. But there's so many other people there that'll drive there, walk there, come there. It's going to be an amazing day on Saturday. I can't wait to take pictures and get the Mac out to you. And I appreciate so much all of these folks coming and being on the radio program with us tonight to share with you what they're doing and what their goal is. So please remember to pray for all of the people that are involved. You know, the other side is probably going to show up. There's probably going to be protesters there, people who hate God, who hate the Bible, who hate Christianity. Hopefully everything will be smooth, and they do have, quote-unquote, all right to show up there and voice their opinion. But, you know, God can turn that around, and He could keep everything peaceful, and He can maybe, hopefully, He can convert those souls. And maybe, just maybe, something could be said or done to maybe convert a soul towards Him on Saturday. So if one soul comes to know Him, it's worth it all. I thank you very much for being on the show with us tonight, our guest, and for those of you that have listened to the show tonight, I appreciate your support. Continue to pass along the link for people. They can, if they missed the show tonight, they can pick it up and listen to it at any time. It's always archived. And please help us to continue the Community Journal. Go to thecommunityjournal.us, sign up for our mailing list, continue to send people there. And like I said, we've got the website up to where that we're following Mr. Sharp and Mr. Brown for the next couple days, too. So make sure you go there and watch them tomorrow. If you want to get in touch with us during the week, our phone number is 804-598-9301. And send me an email anytime during the week. I'd love to chat with you, and I'd love to hear your comments about the show at Katrina, K-A-T-R-I-N-A, at Katrina.com. May God bless each and every one of you. And until next time, I'm Katrina Blankenship, your host of Community Radio. Good night.
And I had to start again with just my family and my wife. I thank my God above to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom. and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit on down to Houston, from New York to LA, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say. And I'm proud to be an American.